Welcome to the MHI Cast, the show where we talk to the industry's best minds to uncover their supply chain stories. We explore real-world case studies and get unique perspectives on key trends and emerging technologies from every corner of the material handling, logistics, and supply chain space. We've all heard of ransomware attacks that have shut down entire distribution networks, phishing scams that have targeted employees on the front lines, and of third-party vendor breaches that have exposed sensitive data. Cybersecurity threats and data breaches are real, evolving, and increasingly sophisticated. And supply chain attacks are a growing target of these attacks. But here's the truth. This isn't just an IT issue anymore. In today's hyper-connected digital landscape, protecting your supply chain means strengthening bridges between your cybersecurity experts, logistics leaders, and partners. You need collaboration, visibility, and a proactive strategy to combat these threats. Joining me on this episode of MHI Cast are Mark Manning, CEO of iTrace Technologies, Rick McDonald, CEO of Rick McDonald Supply Chain Advisory, and Glenn Wagle, Vice President of Operations for Kitchen Cabinet Distributors. We're going to discuss advanced cybersecurity strategies and what operations need to know to foster more substantial collaboration efforts and increased knowledge of threats. Mark, I'd like to ask you this first question. Can you give us an overview of the current cybersecurity threat landscape, especially regarding ransomware, phishing, and third-party vendor breaches?
So I've just finished a few days at the RSA conference in San Francisco, which I think is the biggest cybersecurity conference in the US each year. The overall theme from that conference is that artificial intelligence, Gen AI, and the general AI infrastructure has enabled way more sophisticated and difficult to detect attacks at a much greater scale than anyone has seen before. So in general, the attackers are adopting these new technologies at a much higher rate and a much more sophisticated level than the brands that are trying to defend against them. So there's been an explosion of ransomware attacks. I think in the last 2 weeks or so, specifically in the UK, Harrods, the Co-op, and Marks and Spencers have all had either ransomware attacks or denial of service attacks or major cybersecurity outages that have been caused by threat actors attacking that retail space. And it's been a big problem for Marks and Spencers. I think the estimates that I saw that they were losing $1 billion just because of this one single attack that's ongoing right now.
So how have threats like ransomware attacks evolved recently, and what makes them particularly dangerous to supply chain operations?
Ransomware attacks can start with something as simple as a single employee scanning a single malicious QR code that has now been sent as a QR phishing or quishing or a QR jacking attack.
For anyone in the audience who hasn't heard the term quishing, it means QR code phishing.
So it can be as simple as one scan of one malicious QR code that opens up the business infrastructure, data, and services to the attackers. So I think the challenge is such a simple mistake can lead to such a devastating result of systems and data being encrypted and the ransomware being sent from the attackers. So I think the evolution of this is that, you know, the awareness that's required or the education that's required or the defense that's required from the business is so great across a large organization with many, many different players or many different third parties in that supply chain. So I think the supply chain operations, especially as these days people are using QR codes for tracking and tracing in the supply chain. Regulators are requiring QR codes on pharmaceuticals, for example, for track and trace. I mean, those ransomware attacks can come from such an innocuous source as scanning one QR code. At a recent conference, I presented to some brand protection teams that, hey, you're putting QR codes on your product. As an attacker, it wouldn't be very difficult for me to create a malicious QR code on one of your products, send you that QR code as a fake customer saying, hey, I'm having problems scanning this QR code to see if this product's authentic or not. Can you try it and let me know if it's real? And what does the representative of the brand do? Oh, they bring out their phone, they scan the QR code. Now you've got a malicious actor with access to that device. So I think the vulnerabilities are so large, then the organizations have such little awareness of the attack surfaces that are available to the attackers today, that it's becoming a particularly dangerous issue for supply chains, brands, and organizations that are trying to deploy these new technologies.
With that said, what are some vulnerabilities within supply chains that make them a target for ransomware attacks or even phishing scams? Rick, Glenn, let's hear from you.
In my opinion, it really has to do with the breadth and scale of a supply chain. In most cases, your supplier has a secondary, a tertiary supplier, so there are multiple nodes. Companies have thousands and thousands of suppliers. Every one of those have multiple access points. Many companies have dozens, if not hundreds, of external manufacturers, contract manufacturers. Those create another set of access points. And then third-party logistics, whether it's a transportation provider, third-party logistics provider, freight forwarder, if they're connected into your system in some way or another, they all present vulnerabilities. And again, I think it's the breadth of the supply chain that makes our industry unique for cyber attack.
Some of the most common vulnerabilities in supply chain when it comes to cybersecurity are individuals, and it comes through different types of phishing attempts. I also think about sophisticated middle person attempts as well. If you're dealing with a supply chain entity that's overseas in another country, you may find that they don't always spell correctly or that their domain names may change based on who the holding organization is. And you generally think that, oh, well, I recognize the name of the person who sent this, but I don't recognize the name of the email. This goes back to trust but verify. So do I trust you? Sure. But I don't trust you enough that I'm not willing to pick up the phone and call you. I'm not necessarily going to text you or get on WeChat and send you a message. I need to verify. I need to hear your voice and validate it to you, especially if it's a financial transaction. And the number one thing still to this day that I see when I talk to peers in the industry is people clicking links or opening files that are emailed to them unsolicited. You just can't. You just got to stop. Look for the red flags. Look for the misspellings. Look for the timing of the email. Hover over the link. See if it points you at a non-secured website. See if it points you at something different. If your organization has a tool that you can use to check it for spam or you can check it for viruses, run it through that. When you're in doubt, pick up the phone. And if you're still in doubt, delete the email and then tell your IT team.
Okay, so let's dig a little deeper into some of the other cybersecurity threats. Mark, what are some of the most common phishing tactics, and how can organizations better train employees to recognize them?
The simple phishing attack is somebody sends you an email asking you to click on a link or click on an attachment. They're trying to get you to give up some personal information, or they're trying to call you up and impersonate an organization to get you to give them password access or some access. So that's your typical phishing tactics. So making employees aware that, hey, someone asking you for a password or a one-time key is likely going to be trying to get access to your systems. It could be a malicious actor, not the real organization on the other end of that call or the other end of that email. That's the most common kind of attacks that you get today. But where this is evolving and how things are moving forward is, again, use of other technologies to gain access to people's information, gain access to their devices, use their information to gain access to business systems. Every day, there's articles out there of parking meters in different towns or cities around the world that have had the QR codes on those parking meters replaced with a malicious QR code that takes someone to a different website or location than is intended. I mean, generally, they're just putting their credit card information and the bad guys are walking off with their credit card details at that point. But the same kind of attack works to gain access to someone's personal information. I think one of the other most popular ones, if you're an important person and you have access to different systems, a very easy attack would be to perhaps find your favorite restaurant and replace the QR code on the menu in your favorite restaurant with a malicious QR code. You scan that for the menu and likely give access to somebody to perhaps your device or some personal information. So I think the sheer creativity of the attackers around the social engineering and around the use of these technologies is just far beyond what organizations are able to train their staff for.
What about supply chain partners and vendors? What are some of the biggest security blind spots that companies should know about?
It's the ease at which these third-party vendors could be spoofed to somebody within a particular organization. And again, I hate to push on the QR code and QR jacket and quishing, but being able to persuade somebody to log into a fake website or click on a fake link or scan a malicious QR code, I think it's becoming easier and easier. And part of the problem is that convenience is still trumping security in many use cases. And organizations are trying to make what is effectively a frictionless process. We're using these kind of technologies without so much regard for the security. I've been working in the payments industry recently, and there's security organizations that are having to push back really hard against the management team who want to deploy QR codes in payments. And we already know that that's a big hole for fraud. But the management team is pushing for convenience and frictionless engagement without the regard for the level of security. So I think that's some of the blind spots, is perhaps at the board level or the C-suite level, as far as pushing for a technology adoption that is potentially going to be causing a big hole for the organization.
So with the sheer challenges of combating these attacks, how can organizations detect and mitigate cybersecurity threats more effectively? Rick, can you take this one?
Well, I think one of the biggest places is looking for anomalies and looking for disruptions in data, disruptions in feed, disruptions in activity. And those capabilities are always on. They're running real time. They run pretty autonomously. And so the alerts that you receive are really instantaneous. And I'm aware of several companies who have found their cyber attackers through some AI technology that highlighted that there was something going on in their system. And then the human beings got involved that attended to what it was. But I think that's a massive tool for detecting and maybe even being predictive about where cyber attacks could occur.
Great point. Mark, how can AI aid in a strong modern cybersecurity strategy?
Deploying tools that are AI enabled and have the ability to work at that kind of scale is very, very important. I was at another conference this past week in San Francisco for brand protection. And again, it was a brand protection and supply chain security conference. And one of the presenters was talking about the fact that before they enabled AI tools, they would have 40,000 different incidents that they would have to analyze on a daily basis. So they had 40,000 incidents coming in, and they could analyze about 1,000 of those in a day, flat out. So the backlog every day would just grow and grow and grow with all of these incidents. And it wasn't until they were able to deploy artificial intelligence tools to prioritize and focus on the most critical incidents that they were able to start working through that backlog of incidents that they needed to detect. So I think given the scale of the AI is being used and the speed that is being used on attacking on the attack side, I think the brands and the supply chain folks need to be working with those kind of tools that can scale in the same way against it. And also the brand protection team, the supply chain security team, the marketing and the sales teams that are pushing to deploy some of these technologies like QR code and engagement and that kind of thing need to work with the cybersecurity teams to understand the vulnerabilities of the systems that they're deploying and what the potential attack surface is going to look like as they evaluate all of these technologies across the enterprise, not just the traditional software or mobile device computing cybersecurity issues.
Rick, Glenn, in the case of an attack, what are the critical first steps a company should take to mitigate damage and then restore operations?
I think the number one thing is you're going to be assessing the damage. Like right away, first hour, first 6 hours. What doesn't run? Why doesn't it run? If your entire network has been compromised, then obviously that's a pretty easy task. But in many cases, it's going to be a very isolated situation where a system, a process, a set of operating items is going to be offline. So what's the damage? The second thing is, what are the implications on your ability to produce and supply? And in that case, I would highly advocate continuing to run your manufacturing plants as much as you can, as fast as you can, using your business continuity practices. A lot of people will probably shy away from that because they know their BCPs aren't that great. But at the same point in time, the demand you had before you had this interruption is still going to be there. And it might even be at a higher level. And by not running your plant or running it as soon as you can, you're going to create an unnatural dip in your ability to supply. And that gives your competitors all sorts of opportunities to do things that you don't like.
It's also important to think about what you should do when you encounter a situation, because there's always somebody trying to get into your organization, into your systems. They want your data, they want your money, they want something. So let's say it happens to you. What do you do? Well, after you finish freaking out and thinking that you're going to lose your job, you need to stop, you need to be cool, and you need to think about what you're going to do. Usually the first conversation is probably calling up to your boss, right? Bad news doesn't get better with time. Let them know. And then after they finish freaking out and you calm them down, start thinking about what actions you're going to take. You have a cybersecurity insurance policy. Call your cybersecurity insurance provider. Call your MSP if you have one of those. If you have a localized IT team that handles your cybersecurity, get them involved from the jump. They can start looking to isolate and see what kind of damage and replication has happened across your network and where it's coming from and what's going on. And hopefully they can stop what's going on. And sometimes they can and sometimes they can't. But you got to get the right players involved fast. And you want to make sure that you're documenting the process. So if you're the person in charge of it, assign somebody on your team to be like a note taker, be a scribe, be like, at this day, on this time, we talked to these people, we looked at these processes, we looked at these machines, we identified these type of file names, we identified these types of threats. A lot of times, the first reaction when you talk to a CEO is, well, what do they want? What does the ransom look like? How much is it? Well, let's just pay the money. And it sounds like a great idea. Pick a number that you're comfortable with, right? It's only that much money. Well, are you going to get the code to unlock your files? Are they going to give you the encryption keys? Maybe they'll give it to you for some of it. Maybe they won't give you for any of it. And then they come back to the well and they're asking for more. So you can take a look at the FBI's website and it talks about how to deal with cybersecurity attacks, what to do, who to involve, and how to do it. But it's something that you shouldn't wait for the moment when your company is breached or attacked. It's something you should run through with your senior executives and your executive team and talk through, what is this vignette? What does it look like if this happens? What do we do and how do we do it? So that it's not a surprise, because muscle memory is a thing and you're going to train as you fight. Or you fight as you train. So you want to be able to respond correctly. And the correct response is get on the phone with your cybersecurity insurance policy folks and talk to them about it. They deal with this for a living and they're going to walk you through it step by step. If you're working with an MSP, this is not their first rodeo and they're going to have a conversation to help you out and they're going to walk you through it. The most important thing is don't pay the ransom and stay calm. Let your cybersecurity insurance policy holder, let them walk you through everything.
What about organizations that are just starting to prioritize their cybersecurity posture? How can they assess and improve their cybersecurity efforts? Mark?
It's difficult for a company to know where to start. And again, it's balancing that convenience against security to understand what is the right balance between frictionless processes and engagement and providing security to the enterprise. I think in many areas, that balance has swung too far to the convenience side. There's some companies that we're working with in Europe where you can't even share a USB key. You can't send certain attachments to them in certain formats because they've locked things down so significantly. You can't get onto their Wi-Fi networks. But in other companies and other organizations in other parts of the world, those security checks are just not in place. So I think the balance between convenience and security needs to be assessed for an organization to understand what is the threat from the different parts of their organization, the third-party suppliers, the supply chain. How are those threats impacting their business and where do they need to lock things down? It's important for organizations to understand who is connecting to their network.
It sounds like getting those conversations and getting the collaboration going among IT teams and stakeholders is a really critical step. How would you describe the importance of collaboration?
A lot of these systems are interconnected and intertwined, especially when you're dealing with third parties in your supply chain and they are connecting to your business systems. I mean, the supply chain is trying to create as seamless, as fast as possible, as smooth as possible product and transaction flow. The cybersecurity team are trying to protect the business services and business infrastructure. So the two things are tightly twined together and in many ways overlapping, but they have traditionally been completely separate organizations. So I think there's going to be a need to bring those teams together and create perhaps an overall security posture that involves supply chain cybersecurity and all the interconnected pieces that are joined together to create a business supply chain. We are seeing some of the more forward-thinking organizations, when we work with our supply chain security technology in organizations, it is the cybersecurity team that is evaluating that technology for the supply chain. So they are coming together in certain organizations, especially organizations that are dealing with threats and attacks from nation-state actors.
Mark, looking forward, how will cybersecurity continue to shape the supply chain industry? And what steps should businesses take today to stay ahead of future threats?
I think continually updating these systems and prioritizing the cybersecurity and security applications as part of the ongoing business and not as an afterthought or an add-on. I'm sure Marks and Spencer's looking at the $1 billion bill that they've got for their ransomware attack or whatever took their systems offline would have considered a few $1 million on cybersecurity as cheap defense against that kind of attack. I think these attacks, again, are coming at such a scale that they need to look at continually updating and enhancing their security threat and security posture because just the sheer scale and the sheer volumes. So I think the forward-thinking companies are looking at how do you combine the supply chain security, the supply chain infrastructure, and the cybersecurity teams together to create a seamless protection across all of the entry points, connection points, and infrastructure that is touching the corporate network.
Thanks again to Mark Manning, Rick McDonald, and Glenn Wagle for today's enlightening discussion on cybersecurity. And thanks to you, the audience, for listening to this episode of MHI Cast. At MHI, we never stop exploring new opportunities to help you take your manufacturing and supply chain operations to the next level of success. Thanks for making us part of your professional development journey.